Good afternoon, everyone. It is time right now for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are very glad that you're joining us today, wherever you might be around the globe. And for those who listen to the show on the weekend on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, thank you for joining us there also. We've expanded to many more cities across the United States. So our outreach is getting into several countries now. And of course, on the internet, it's everywhere. So, but on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, it's expanded now into 55 cities. And that's a great thing. Lot of Word of God going out. And that's what we are all about at Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, Senior Pastor at Beacon of Hope. And really, really excited about this show today with Nan and Cindy. Nan is right here in the studio. There you go. Your mic's on now.
My mic's on now. All right.
Yeah, there you go. Cindy will be joining us on the air from Indiana on her phone in a little while. And it's pretty cool, Nan. We have expanded to 10 of us on the radio team. Mm-hmm. And I was just telling Brother Chip what a blessing it is to have some new faces and new voices. And, of course, all of our old standby people here are also great, wonderful.
It's just wonderful to see the growth.
Yeah,
growth has occurred in all kind of ways, and that's one of them that's happening at Beacon is with the radio team, and it's really wonderful.
It certainly is, and of course the Facebook. We're going to talk about that in a little while when Cindy comes on. But just a reminder: if you have a pen, write it down. Every Wednesday night at 7:30 Eastern, because we're Florida, so that's Eastern time. 7:30 Eastern consistently now. We've done it for 4 weeks, and we're going to continue on. We come on live on Facebook, and you can catch the last four posts by going to my feed or our ministry, Beacon of Hope Ministries Incorporated. You can go there. Or we just started this last week for the first time doing the hashtag thing that my granddaughter taught me how to do. Therefore, for last Wednesday night's post, you can go to Facebook and go to your search line and put in hashtag God of Miracles, and you will find our post from last Wednesday night, about 13 minutes. Nan, what a joy this is to be doing this new ministry, and we are getting tremendous response. Hundreds of people viewing these posts. Pretty exciting.
What's so exciting about it, for all of us is that, the Word of God is getting out and He's expanding the growth of Beacon in all kind of different ways. And that's one of the ones He's doing is through Facebook on Wednesday nights.
Yes.
It's really great. I mean, just tune in, go over there for a little bit, 10, 12, 13 minutes, listen to, what is shared. It's some pretty rich, pretty cool stuff being shared.
Oh, absolutely. We've done this four times, so there'll be four posts for you to find. This is the first one with the hashtag God of Miracles. So we'll announce each week what the hashtag is that you can find it. And just go into your search right on Facebook at the top and put hashtag God of Miracles, and it comes right up. So anyway, exciting things. We just came from our nursing home ministry, which we do the first Sunday of every month. What a joy that is, Nan. We've been doing it 6 years plus. Isn't it exciting?
It's exciting to see the people. It's interesting. You take well-bodied people who have no infirmities with any of their hands, and they won't raise their hands and praise the Lord. But, I'm not saying there, but in general,
it's
in places.
It's true. You're right.
And there are these people, like Brother Bob over there. You see him.
Yes.
He does the best he can do to raise that one hand.
Right.
And it just goes up a little bit, but he is praising the Lord.
It
and
was
that
all
is so
over
cool.
The room today. Different ones trying to raise their hands. Wasn't it cool?
It was cool.
Yeah. And so we do the old songs, things they know. So like How Great Thou Art. And we throw a few new ones in, like How Great Is Our God and stuff like that once in a while. But Blessed Assurance and things like that that they can relate to and remember the words. And it is amazing. Some of these people cannot even talk and communicate, but they can remember the words to these songs. What does that say? That's just wonderful.
The power of words.
Yeah.
Like the one lady that got wheeled in a little bit later. You know, as soon as she came in, I noticed that she was immediately singing the songs.
She was.
She knew those songs.
Right from the door. Yeah.
Right as soon as the get-go, getting in there.
Oh, it's just great. So that's the first Sunday of every month. It's our nursing home ministry at Palm Garden. rehabilitation center and nursing home in Clearwater, and it's a joy for us to be there every time we go. And so anyway, we got a lot going on at Beacon of Hope. We have a Wednesday night Bible study. That's where we're doing the Facebook post from. And that is a really intense time in the Word and worship, prayer for your needs, ministry to people. Every Wednesday night at 6, it begins the prayer meeting part, 6:30, the Bible study part. Every Wednesday night, and that's at 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater at the Red Roof Inn. And we've been there for about a year and a half now after we gave up our building. But you know what? Don't need a building. We're fine just the way we are, aren't we?
Oh, most definitely. We're doing
good. Yeah, it's a joy. It's a joy. So if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we encourage you to come by and meet with us. People have done that and said, hey, I listened to you on the radio. I just came to Bible study. Great. You know, so you're welcome.
Your dinner. Bring your dinner if you're coming straight from work. That's what I do.
You do, because we have tables. Everybody sits at tables for Bible study. It makes it easier for your Bible and for your food if you bring food. So, but it's a joy just to be there together, isn't it, Nan?
Oh, it's just such a family and such a loving atmosphere. And we
really
just all
is.
Love each other, you know, and it's just great to get there and hear the word and just learn so much to be able to apply to our lives. It's really
absolutely
powerful stuff.
One of the wonderful components of this ministry is an online prayer team that has a lot of people in it scattered different places around. And you can join that prayer team if you want by sending us an email to prayers@bohmglobal.com. No obligation, but we'd love to have more and more people praying for all these requests that come in from people. Sometimes they're anonymous people we don't know. Sometimes they are people that we do know at work or friends, family, whatever. We have a powerful prayer team, Nan.
A lot of answers to prayer
as
a result of that.
Oh, my gosh, yes. All the time. Constantly. In fact, my associate pastor, Pastor Jim, keeps a log of the answers, and the praise reports are huge.
They are.
So prayers@bohmglobal.com. BOHM stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So prayers@bohmglobal.com. And we invite you and encourage you to use our prayer line and to tell coworkers and friends, hey, I know about a prayer line where they will pray and get answers and pray for your needs. So prayers@bohmglobal.com. It's a joy, really, to pray for all these requests that come in. There's come in every day, you know, and sometimes many, many a day, you
right.
know. I think one day a couple years ago, we had 18 or 20 in one day. I mean, it's... And so we get a few every day, but not that many every
right.
day. But still, we want people to use it globally. You're welcome to use it. prayers@bohmglobal.com. You don't have to put your name or anything like that. So it's a great day. We're excited about being in the Word. And we're going to be in the book of 2 Kings again. So let's go there. And we're going to chapter 6, and it is a great thing we're going to talk about today. 2 Kings chapter 6, if you have your Bible, find it. And we're going to start this show with a song that I cannot get off my heart. So I play it. I hear it in my spirit a lot, and I play it a lot. And it is Chris Tomlin's song, let me see the exact title. How Can I Keep From Singing? Whoa. Powerful song. Here we go. How Can I Keep From Singing? Great way to start the show. Sing with us.
Though the storms may come,
Makes me want to sing. Absolutely. I don't know about you, Nan, but that song just gets to me every time I hear it. I play it and play it and play it in my car because it just, yeah, how can I keep from singing your praise? I mean, there's no way I can because I feel so blessed right. to be a child of the King, you know,
it's
to be
awesome
loved
thing.
By him.
Yes.
Woo.
I never heard that before.
You haven't?
No.
It's an older song, but I found it on one of his CDs, and I just played it to, you know, I'm wearing it out.
Wearing it out.
In my car. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, and we hear the story. We've been talking about Elisha. We're in a series entitled Going the Distance, and that is all about hanging in there and being faithful to God, to your commitments, to his word, being faithful to be the best studier of the word, the best worshiper and praiser that you can be, the person that really goes the distance with God, doesn't lag and fall down and get weary and give up and lose enthusiasm. Human nature can go great guns for a short period of time. And we've seen this in church, haven't we, Nan? People that come, oh, this is my church, this is where I want to be, and I'm going to be here. And maybe they're hit and miss, you know, a few weeks later, or they're hit and miss, and then we don't see them again for a while. And then, oh, yeah, I got to get back with it. And you know what I'm talking about?
It's interesting. I'm listening to a CD series in my car, and right before I got here.
Okay.
She said the same thing.
Really?
She talked about how people get started doing things, and oh, yeah, and the joy, and this
yeah.
is great, and I'm going to do it.
Right.
This is fantastic. And oh, this is exciting. And you do it about 3 weeks later.
Yes.
You lose your steam.
Why?
Because you're not focused on what you're supposed to be focused on.
Right, and because the devil gets in with distractions. I think one of the biggest enemies we have, that the tools of the enemy, is distraction. And so we get going, and oh, yeah, oh, well, I can't go this, I can't do this, I can't. You know, we were talking in a meeting we had this morning of the importance of doing daily studying in the Word, daily time in, like, Jesus calling, a devotional, daily time, you know, praising God. God has divided our days into 24 hours. And And really, we need to be allotting some time every single day, not just on Sunday or Wednesday night, to really spend time talking to God, praying, listening to God, reading the Word. And so many people don't do it. You're right. They get into that habit, that rut of just, oh, I'll do it later, you know?
Later doesn't come.
A lot of times it doesn't. So this series is all about going the distance, and it's about understanding the tools. We're getting tools week after week. This coming week, Wednesday night, starts our seventh week in this series. And I tell you, it's been super powerful because it's about who God is. What does he want to do in our life? How can he be your best friend? How can he be the one that lifts you up out of all the junk that we all have going on? It's been powerful, hasn't it?
Oh, it's been an awesome series.
And we've been, and it certainly wasn't planned this way. It started out in 2 Kings, but I had no idea we were staying there. But we've been there quite a while now. Now we're in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. So the king of Aram was at war with Israel. And after consulting with his officers, he said, at such and such a place, I want to set an ambush up. So what he was going to do was to try to, this was a military plan, to defeat Israel by putting a hidden ambush in some cave or some area where he would be able to really kill a bunch of the Israelite soldiers. And in verse 9, the holy man here is Elisha, we've been talking about for quite a while, sent a message to the king of Israel. And he said, watch out when you're passing this particular place, because Aram has set an ambush there. Now, the king of Israel sent word concerning the place at which the holy man had warned him. So then the king listens to Elisha, he sends word to his military installation, and they avoid that place. I like the verse 10 at the end of 2 Kings 6:10. It says, this kind of thing happened all the time. And so what was going on was God was consistently forewarning the king of Israel so that he did not have his army in the place where the ambush might happen. And God was forewarning the children of Israel because he wanted to protect them. He's our God of protection. Mm-hmm. The king of Aram was furious in verse 11 of 2 Kings 6. He called his officers together and he said, tell me, who's leaking information to the king of Israel? Who is the spy? Who is the spy in our ranks? But one of the men was evidently more in tune with what was really going on. And he said, no, my master, dear king, it's not any of us. It's Elisha, the prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel everything you say, even what you whisper in your bedroom. Now, some of you say, well, how did that happen? Well, that was way before we had, devices, high-tech spy devices that could record what was being said. This was something that God Almighty was dropping into the heart of Elisha and saying, let the king know that the next ambush is going to be at this place. And so when Elisha would send word to the king, this is where the ambush is set up now, the king would let the army know, and so the army wouldn't go there. So this just kept happening. It happened for a period of time. And it's interesting that the king got so fed up that he decided he's going to capture Elisha. If Elisha's the one that God's telling all this to, well, let's stop him. Talk to me about that, Nan.
I think it's symbolic for us of how God will direct us.
Yes.
If you will.
Yes.
Don't go here, don't go there, or
right.
Do this or do that, or,
right.
You know, whatever it may be. You know, and he has our best interests at heart. I mean,
exactly.
He had the Israelites obviously the best interest at heart, that they that they prosper, they go forward, that positive things happen for them, and not to be defeated. And I think it's interesting how powerful God is, that in this story that is shared with us here, that he uses the gift of knowledge,
word of knowledge,
word of knowledge,
word of knowledge
to speak you know, to the prophet to tell the king. The king tell his men, and the other guy's just like scratching his head, like, "What is?"
Well, yeah, how'd that happen?
He even thought his own people were, you know, a spy
sure.
amongst his people,
sure.
you know,
sure.
because it kept happening, and he just didn't get it.
And what's so interesting is that God did this, number one, to protect his people, but also, I believe another reason is for us right now. Here we are, about 3,000 years later, talking about it. You know, we're talking about how God did this. So, you know, this is part of what God does. He so wants to teach us about his power and his greatness. He so wants to teach us that he is involved with our everyday lives and cares about the details. That's one thing that we learn in this series, Going the Distance. We serve a God that cares about every detail of our lives on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. He cares about the distractions or the roadblocks, that stumbling blocks that the devil throws at us. He cares about this. Go ahead.
I'm glad he does.
So am I.
He's there to help us and to protect us and to guide us.
He really is. And so many people don't realize that about God, that he cares about our protection. He cares about telling the devil on us. So that when we are like going through some difficult time or whatever, or we are just like not aware that there's a spiritual battle going on around us, that the devil's trying to keep us from reading the words, keep us from studying the concepts that God wants us to learn, keep us from praising, keep us from worshiping, keep us beat down. And God wants to raise us up. He protects us. And this is a wonderful story to show his power, don't you think?
No, it's an awesome one.
Yeah.
Just the thought of how mind-boggling that can be to realize,
right?
You know, what God did just to protect his people.
Yes.
And to instruct them and direct them. And
right.
We, as his people, we are protected by him, and he
right.
will direct us.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we realize that we serve a supernatural God, okay? He is all-knowing, all-present, present everywhere at the same time. Crazy, can't understand that. He understands everything there is about us. He loves us all the same. All these qualities of God, we cannot even begin to really wrap our heads around, because it's not what we're used to with human nature, right?
Right.
And so here we have God telling on the bad king about where the ambushes are going to be by dropping a word of knowledge. It's one of the 9 spiritual gifts talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the word of knowledge still works today, believe me. The word of knowledge and all these gifts of the Holy Spirit still work today. God can let you know something. He can warn you through a word of knowledge. He can protect you through some supernatural way, because God does that, which we're going to talk about today. So the king gets so mad, and he's in verse 13. The king says, "Go and find out where he is. I'll send someone and capture him." So this was such a big problem that the king was not able to set the ambushes against Elisha, that he's going to do something real drastic here. He's going to capture him. Okay. Now, what he's not banking on is that God has so much in store for Elisha as far as protection. He's God of the angel armies, and we're going to see that here. And the king thinks he's battling a man. He doesn't realize he's battling the King of Kings mm-hmm. and the Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. Woo! Talk to me about that. That'll preach, won't it?
Sometimes when people come against us in our life, they don't realize who they're messing with.
Right.
Because we're protected by the Lord.
Absolutely.
You know, and he has, as is back then, obviously our best interests at heart.
Absolutely.
Know? And so, you know, people need to be, you know, like I say, the king thought he was just dealing with a man. No,
right.
He was dealing with God.
Absolutely.
And that's the way it is in our lives.
Right.
That we have God with us. And when people are messing with us or trying to come against us, they're coming against the God Almighty, God of the universe.
Oh, absolutely.
Our Heavenly Father.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is so powerful. He is so amazingly powerful. We're going to put a song in here right now that I think is really going to bless you by the group down here. It's called Calmer of the Storm. Because, you know, this was a storm going on around here. So I think this song will really speak to you and help you.
When everything is wrong, the day has passed and nothing's done. When the whole world seems against me. When I'm rolling in my bed, there's a storm in my head. I'm afraid of sinking in despair. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing me. Will change my life and bring you glory. I'm amazed at the power of your will. 'Cause I'm a child of little faith. I feel the wind and forget your grace. And you say, peace be still. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing. Torment blows in the middle of the sea. May I never trust, never trust in me. 'Cause there in your arms I find no tragedy.
Ooh, wow. What a good song. The Calmer of the Storm. Absolutely. That's who he is, isn't he? And you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're in 2 Kings chapter 6 and a powerful story of a king who is trying to put up ambushes so that the army of Israel is unaware of an ambush and is captured and destroyed, etc. The problem is he was fighting up against God. And what is interesting is that God was dropping a word of knowledge into the heart of Elisha the prophet. Every time the king set up an ambush, God told Elisha, here's where they are. And so Elisha would let the king know. The king would let his generals know. And they would not go by that area where the ambush was set up. So the king got very frustrated because it's like every time he tries and so hard to set up an ambush and kill all these soldiers of Israel, he can't do it. So the king decides, all right, he's told by one of his aides that here's the problem. God's telling Elisha this. And so the king says, all right, then we're going to capture Elisha. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? And so the report came back that Elisha was in Dothan. And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. Nan, did you get a poem during that song?
I did.
Yeah, would you share that?
Okay.
share it right here before we go on. I caught people up. Now we're ready to hear what you have to say here.
It's called Calmer of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
I am the calmer of the storm that you currently face. I will help you, precious one. You will make it by my grace.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're hurting. I will move in the situations. I am your strength and defense. You do have my protection. I am the calmer of the storm. Look to me. It will be okay. You seem to have tough times, but you will have brighter days.
Wow, that's good. That's good. That's for our audience, right? That's for our people out there that are having a hard time, because we all have those storms in life.
We need to encourage each other, and that's what this program is all about, is encouraging the people and the listeners, whoever's hearing, whenever they're hearing, whether it's live or later or whenever. You know, the anointing still goes out on the program, and we're here to encourage them, to let them know they're going to make it. They're going to be okay.
That's exactly right. And why do we study a passage like this? Because we want you to realize that in order to go the distance with God, you're going to have to get a real grasp on how powerful he is and what lengths he will go to protect you and take care of you. And we're going to talk more about that in Psalm 91 in just a little while. But here's what happened. And that was a great poem that God gave you. Wow, precious. Okay, so the report came where Elisha was. So in the morning, the king sent a bunch of horses and chariots and a big, impressive fighting force. So a bunch of soldiers. They came by night. They surrounded the city where Elisha was. Early in the morning, verse 15 of 2 Kings 6. Early in the morning, a servant of the holy man got up and went out. Surprise! I'm in the Message Bible. I love the way it says it. It says it in our everyday language. Surprise! What did the servant see? Horses and chariots surrounding the city. The young man was obviously afraid and exclaimed, and he went in and he yelled at Elisha, I'm sorry, "Oh, master, what shall we do?" How about that? I think that's a common thing we say when we find our backs up against the wall in situations in life. What am I going to do? Oh, no, what am I going to do? Would you agree with that, Nan?
Yes. That is what many times what am I going to do now? Look at what I'm facing. Look at what's happening. What am I going to do now?
And I think what human nature does is we try to let as many people know how bad it is. And really, oh my gosh, this is terrible. It's not going to, this is one of the reasons people don't go the distance, because they get caught up in talking about how big their problem is, okay? And we're going to bring Cindy in here in just a second. She just joined us. Cindy, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi, Nan.
Cindy's a Beaconite, used to be down here, is back in Indiana, but so good to have you as a part of the radio team. And here's my point, Cindy. We get caught up, and the reason a lot of us don't go the distance with our spiritual lives and don't grow and get stronger in God is because we get caught up in the problem, and we are telling everybody about how big the problem is. And I've got to quote Joel Osteen, Pastor Joel Osteen. One of the things that has absolutely stayed in my heart for years, since I first heard it many years ago. He says, instead of telling God how big your problems are, tell your problems how big your God is. And we're going to see that right here in 2 Kings 6. Because even though Elisha and his servant were surrounded by an army getting ready to capture them, and that is huge, and that's a big problem, Elisha wasn't upset at all. The servant was panicking. The servant was absolutely panicking. Elisha, and the servant goes, "Elisha, oh, master, what should we do?" And I love verse 16, and then I'll go to you, Cindy, for a comment. 2 Kings 6:16. Here's what Elisha said. "Don't worry about it. Hey, don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side, and yet there was not one Israeli or Israelite soldier right there with them." This was a supernatural army that had surrounded the city. This was not a physical human army. Nan, did you want to say something about that?
I was just thinking, how many times that we have a supernatural army with us that we don't see.
We don't even see. And I love the fact that Elisha says here, don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side. Okay, Cindy, let's hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I want to press on.
Good. You know? Praise
no
God.
You know, we give up too soon before we see the victory because it's too hard.
That's right.
If we don't have faith that there are angels and supernatural help to see us through something, when the devil starts attacking, and that's what's been going on, I know, in all of our lives, God is doing something great, big, in the near future, because I know that myself and a lot of you on the have been experiencing some attacks from the enemy in such ways. Mine is just right and left, right and left. A person that doesn't have the faith or the knowledge that God is going to protect him in
right.
all these situations
yes.
and figure it out, they're going to throw in the towel way early. You know,
right.
they're going to beat them up. They don't have the faith. They don't have the knowledge. It's just too hard, Pastor.
I totally agree, and that's why we have to get, as you quoted here, we've quoted you now for months on Living the Good Life, because you said this, and you are the only person I've ever heard say this. We have to stay faithed up. We have to be faithed up on a daily basis. We finally, America, I think, has finally learned we got to stay hydrated, right? We got to stay hydrated, especially when it's really hot in the summertime. We got to stay hydrated. We got to be watered up. We got to be hydrated up, right? Mm-hmm. But how much more do we need to stay faithed up? Comment on that, because you're the one that said that, and we quote you a lot on that. And it's such a cool concept. It's so true. Go ahead.
Well, I think for myself personally, it's that I've seen God come through for me so many times.
Yeah.
That I mean, like, every time. He has never failed me. I mean, back then in the day, I might have thought he failed me because I didn't get what I wanted or see, it didn't happen the way I thought it should. I thought God let me down. But as you grow in faith and your relationship with God and you learn to know that he doesn't ever let you down, you let yourself down or your expectations are all messed up with God.
Right, right.
And when he gives you what he wants it to be and how it's supposed to be, as you grow in faith and your relationship and you know whatever happens, that's the way God wanted it to happen because I give everything to him to work it out.
That's right.
Now it's not too hard for me. It's too much for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I just say, take it, God.
Yeah.
It's too much.
It's too much.
Figure it out, work it out, and I go on about my business. And he just puts it all together. So
you are exactly right. Go ahead.
That's the faith that I have.
Right.
I come to know is that I didn't used to always be like this, but every time God comes through for me again, my faith gets stronger. And I look at people in my life and I go, gosh, you know, I feel sorry for her because she's so stressed out and struggling so bad with that issue. If she just had the faith that I have, well, man, that wouldn't even be a problem to her.
Right.
It just, you know, you see other people going through this stuff, and it's sad that they don't have that kind of faith. But
that's a great point, Cindy. And that's why we do these shows. That's why we're doing the Facebook post on Wednesday night. That's why we are continually to get the word out, because we want to get the message out that God is bigger. God is greater. God is more powerful than any problem you have. And so when you start telling your problems how great and how big your God is, this is what Elisha was saying to the servant. Don't worry about it. Can't you just hear him? Don't worry about that. There are more on our side than on their side. And then Elisha prayed, oh God, open his eyes and let him see. Verse 17, and the eyes of the young man were opened and he saw. Here's what he saw, a wonder. The whole mountainside was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. This was the armies of the Lord. The God of the angel armies had sent his angel army to divert this whole situation. God was not done with Elisha yet. He had a lot more for him to do. So therefore, he was going to protect him because it wasn't time for him to go to heaven. And we've got to realize, and by the end of this show, dear phones, dear friends, one of my goals is to get you to realize that God is your protector. He's your protector. He's your safety. That's one of his names. The name Jesus, one of the names is safety. He's your safety. And so this eyes of this young man were open, and he saw. And in verse 18, when the Armenians attacked, Elisha prayed to God, strike these people blind. Now you say, well, what made him think to do that? God just dropped it in his heart. Just like the word of knowledge. This was another word of knowledge. This is what'll work. Just pray that they go blind. Pastor Jim said it was not just physical blindness, but it was kind of a groggy state. This word talks about they were just kind of disoriented. Kind of, we talked about it Wednesday night, just kind of like they were being led. They were led right out of town so easily. They weren't, and yet they had arrived in town. They were at the right town, but yet Elisha told them, oh, wait a minute. This isn't the way. This isn't the right city. Follow me and I'll lead you to the man you're looking for. This is the man that they were looking for, is leading them out of that city. And he led them to Samaria, and that was a 14-mile hike. And they were kind of drugged up, kind of groggy. Can you believe that? It was just, talk to me about that, Cindy, and then I'll go to Nan on that. Look what God did here. That was just wild.
It is wild, and nothing on this earth can explain it. You know, it
right.
has to be supernatural.
It was supernatural, yes.
And when you just imagine that kind of power that God still has today.
Yes.
He hasn't changed.
Yes.
That he can do in the situation that you're in. It's just mind-blowing.
This is the kind of God we serve.
You know what, Pastor? I had my house broken, too.
Uh-oh.
I haven't told a lot of people this because I don't want them to worry. I live alone. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something had happened, some suspicions, and then I came home one night and someone had gotten in, don't know how, and stolen most of my television.
Oh, my.
You know, my nice, big screen.
Oh, I didn't know.
My Blu-ray player. Yeah, I didn't tell too many people. I'm trying to get a lead on who's involved.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, when that happens and you live out in the country and you live alone.
Right.
I became fearful of going home alone at night.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Entering my house because I didn't know if there was a prowler or who had done that or if they were watching me. And, I mean, this went on for a night of agony of, like, I wasn't totally giving in to freaking out. But it was like every time
wow.
I go in my driveway, I'm like, I feel uncomfortable going in here alone and making sure nobody is in the house or something like that. Because I'm pretty secluded, so it was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
They left my garage door open, the whole big overbay door. So that
wow.
was, like, when you come home to that, it's like, wow, you know, you don't know what to suspect.
Wow, yeah.
That threw me off. That really threw me off. That was so out of my expectancies to come home to. So then I thought, well, you know, I can take this fear every night I come home and go buy a gun for protection or some fire armor, you know, or something. I had nothing. I felt kind of helpless, you know. And I thought, you know. And I talked it over with a friend, and they said, no, you know, don't need all that, you know. And I thought, you know what? If I walk in this house and there is someone in here, I don't need anything because my God will kick their butt, and I'll be just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of faith that I have.
Amen.
And I mean, that's kind of crazy, but I go in there now, and I just like, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over
that's
the house
right.
before I leave.
Yes.
I go in, and I'm like, Lord, if there's something happened or someone here, I know it's in your control. Just give me the courage to go in here and go home and enjoy my home like I always have before. Put this behind me.
Praise God.
But, well, yeah, so.
That's interesting. That is a real-life experience, and I'm glad you shared it
yeah.
because the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, is our power source. And when we do encounter situations that bring us some fear, that's our weapons, the weapons of our warfare. When we plead the name above every other name is the name of Jesus, which makes me want to play this song right now. I think I'm going to, wasn't planned, but that's what I think we need to play right now. And it is a song by the group Selah, I Bless Your Name. And so let's begin to bless him and thank him for his powerful, powerful, powerful name. name, the name of Jesus. Love this song. And we'll hear from Nan and Cindy again.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began their chains were loosed, and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give
your name. Bless him with us. We praise you, God. We bless your name, mighty God. It's your name that's more powerful than any other name. Your name, Jesus, just absolutely gives us protection and help in our darkest times, in our times of discouragement and defeat. You are right there. Nan, you got a poem, and then we'll go on with Elisha. Go ahead.
My son's name is so powerful. Of that you need to see and believe. Of the chains that have you bound, you will be released, you will be freed. Praise, despite what you face, you will draw strength from such. You will receive answers to your prayers, you will be released and feel my touch. Mm. Go ahead, try it, little one. Praise my son's precious name. You will be greatly changed, and you will not feel the same.
That's so good.
Oh, good.
Don't you love those poems that come through, Nan, Cindy? They're great, aren't they?
I knew it. I said when the song was on, I said, now we're going to come back with a poem from Nan. It's like God just hears in right then when he needs to.
Absolutely, he does.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's supernatural, too, right there. It's a great example of what God does.
It is, Cindy. That's a good point. Yes, that is a gift, you know, and it's amazing how he speaks to us, a prophetic word, actually, through a form of poetry, and it's amazing. It's wonderful. Let's get back to these guys, because then we're going to Psalm 91 in the second hour. So these, Elisha's there. He takes these warriors of the enemy on a 14-mile hike where they're kind of dazed and out of it, and they can't really see, and they enter the city. And Elisha says, okay, God, now it's time to open their eyes so they can see where they are. God opened their eyes. They looked around, and they were trapped in Samaria, in Israel. They were trapped there. And when the king of Israel saw them, the king of Israel was right there. He said to Elisha, Father, shall I massacre the lot? Shall I kill them all? Boy, that's our natural human instinct, isn't it? Shall I kill them? Now, this whole thing with the all of the army of God, the angels of God up there, Elisha, his servant, they were protected from what the enemy was going to do because that whole angel army was right there. And probably they're the ones, or through God, that put this like sleep dust all over them or whatever it was that caused them to kind of be out of it and blind and kind of barely able to see. And it like took away their power. You know, they didn't even want to. And so they get to Israel, and the king says, okay, let's kill them. And Elisha is very strong. In verse 22, he says, no way, not on your life. You didn't lift a hand to capture them. Huh. Because it was God and the angels that captured them. You're not going to kill them. No, make a feast for them and send them back to their master. So they prepared a huge feast for them. After they ate and drank their fill, he dismissed them, and they returned home to their master. And the raiding bands of Aram didn't bother Israel any more. Whoa. Isn't that so what Jesus talked to us about? It's to love our enemies, to bless those that persecute us, to do unto others the way we would have them do unto us. Talk to me, Nan, and then we'll go to Cindy for her comments here.
Well, what I was thinking along in the story was, you know, they said they went 14 miles.
Yeah.
Now, they obviously were kind of like drugged up because 14 miles is a long distance to go on horse, on foot, when you know that you thought that you went to where you thought you were supposed to be going.
Right.
And I said that strangely on purpose. You know, I mean, it didn't dawn on them that, wait a minute, there's something fishy here.
Right. They had to be dazed.
I mean, 14 miles, that's a long place, a long space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
probably all day long journey.
Big journey, you know.
Yeah.
To think you made the mark, but you missed the mark. But I think it's neat the way, yeah, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, God knows how to move in those circumstances. God knows how to blind the eyes of the enemy. God knows how to give us a direction of what we need to do and how, you know, what we need to do. There are times
Absolutely.
We need to do things. We need to be proactive at times. We need to pray and believe by faith. We need to do this, or maybe certain things God tells us to do, we need to do. He is there. He will help us.
Interesting that God had Elisha lead them right into a feast, not into being killed, and provided for them, gave them a nice meal and sent them home on their way. Ha! Love it. I mean, look how God does. He's got such a sense of humor. Oh, well, let's just take these bad guys and let's feed them a real nice feast before we send them home. Isn't that crazy? Cindy, talk to us. Whoa.
I know they're just walking away from their scratch in their head. Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know? What just happened to us?
Right. That's exactly right. That is what happened. Go ahead.
I don't know. It's just a concept at work. If you have an enemy, an individual enemy, or a rival or whatever the situation with that person is, if you feed into that and you hate on them and you do things to aggravate them or you know, you play the game, I guess you play along. If you do that and you entertain it is the word I use.
Yeah.
If you entertain them, then, you know, it just fuels it up and it goes on and on and on, and it's so miserable.
Right.
But, or God only knows what can happen as a result of your action.
Exactly.
But if you take the higher, you know, if you be the bigger person and you take the higher road and say, well, you know, I'm going to do what God would do, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to act like them or get down on their level. I'm just going to, you know, be that good person that God wants me to be. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to entertain their actions. I'm just going to ignore them, or maybe I'm going to be good to them, or, you know, it's just, I don't know, it freaks them out when you do opposite of what
it does,
they
doesn't
you
it?
To do, then, and they can't get to you, and they see that they can't upset you or they can't hurt you in any way, you know, then they stop or they just leave you alone. It kind of deters them from their efforts, I guess.
It definitely does. And I think right here we see that, and we see Elisha waiting on God for what he was supposed to do. And, you know, basically God put it in his heart to say, strike these people blind and put that crazy dazed thing on them so that they would follow him. That was God's plan. You know, Elisha wasn't sitting there, okay, when they come, I'm going to do this. I think that that was just dropped in his heart, a word of knowledge, like it a word of knowledge does. Just drop. Nan, do you want to comment on that?
I love it when the Lord drops a word of knowledge in my life.
Yes,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and when we know what to do in a certain situation.
Right.
And Cindy, what you were just talking about, in situations where people are hating on us or whatever the case may be, when we say, God, what do you want me to do here about this? Sometimes it is that you're supposed to get down and pray for them. Sometimes it is that you're supposed to be sweet, kind, and lovely and take them out to lunch. You know, it's just whatever God's plan is what we want to fall in line with, right? Cindy, do you want to comment on that anymore before we go to station ID?
No,
go
ahead. No, I think you said everything. That's just it. Is waiting is the key. Wait on the Lord's plan until he drops that knowledge in your heart or gives you the indication of what he wants you to do. That's always best when we take our own action. Usually it's not the right one.
Well, I think that all that's true, and I think that this verse 16 of 2 Kings 6 is very important because Elisha calls it like it really is. Don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side. Elisha could see, and then he asked God to open his servant's eyes, and he saw too, that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. There were angels. That's what it was. God of the angel armies is how the Message Bible translates God Almighty so often. God of the angel armies. And the angel armies had arrived. And their plan, God's plan was, well, let's just lead them into Israel and give them a nice meal. Let's don't kill anybody today. Let's just do this. I kind of like that plan. Kind of cool. But I love what Elisha says here, don't worry about it. They're more on our side than on their side. We got to get that down on the inside of us that when we serve a living God, we have at his side are myriads and myriads of angels to help us with whatever the situation is. And we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like the word of knowledge, to ask God, okay, what do I do here? Tell me what to do. Because the king wanted to kill all these guys when they got to his town. And Elisha said, no, God says, feed them, give them a feast, send them on their way. And that kept them from ever going back. I mean, they didn't go back. You want to comment on that, Nan, before we go to station ID?
I wouldn't go back either. They fed me that time. They may not feed me the next time.
That's right, right? Next time it might be kill you, right? So, yeah, I think this is powerful. We're going to go to Psalm 91. If you're following along in your Bible, let's get over there. And we're going to do station ID here in just a minute. And we want to remind you, we talked about it earlier on, the prayer line that we have, prayers at bohmglobal.com. Write that down. Use it. We want you to use it. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Send your requests in. Send them in to us, and our team will pray. If you want to be a part of the prayer team, just send an email to prayers at bohmglobal.com and say, put me on that prayer team. And you'll get those requests as they come out and the prayers that either Betty, Pastor Jim, or Shell write for those needs. It's a powerful, powerful.